Sunday school. Amen.
John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus unto them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen.
Second Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Behold, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Amen.
Amen.
John chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Amen.
Amen.
My life.
Jesus, at the mention of your name, every knee must bow and tongue confess. Jesus, Jesus, you are Savior, you are Lord, and you are God.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Come on, help me sing Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Hallelujah, Father.
For he Shall we get straight into the word? As we stand on our feet. So I'll read you Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16, the first four verses. Matthew 16, verse from verse 1 to 4. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto you, be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. May you please be seated. Amen. I would say there's one thing that we are quite doing well. A couple of weeks ago, four or five weeks ago, I said that when we are greeting one another, don't remain where you are, move around. And since I said that, I've been watching you all move around. That's a wonderful thing. Amen. Hallelujah. That is one thing I have not reminded the church over and over and over. It's one thing that I've just said once that it has been done. And that's a wonderful thing. Amen. So when you do that, you break yourself up. You loosen up. Is that right? Don't feel intimidated. Because what the Spirit of Christ is, there's what? Liberty in the heart of the Lord. You feel free, move around, and then you shake one another's hand. It's a beautiful thing to experience God's liberty like that. Okay, so I want to pick a little title for today's sermon, and I call it, of course, it comes in the form of a question. And so my title is, where are we at? Where are we at? Amen. Where are we at? And so it sounds like a very simple question, but there has been instances where people don't know where they are. Christians don't know the times and the signs of the times. You know? So the scripture I read to you, that was the conversation between our Lord Jesus Christ and the churches. You know, the religious bodies, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so they came to the Lord and tempting him. See, they always love to tempt the Lord. Not because, so I always tell people that people who have questions in their mind, it's okay to have a question. It's okay. As long as you don't doubt the word of God. But if you have a question that you want to know, God loves that. God is the answer to every question that we have. Amen. But I've always told people that we have two groups of people who are always asking questions. The first group are the group that will ask questions in order to prove that the Lord is wrong. The second group ask questions to know more and to be positionally placed. Is that right? So you see, in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, all those that came to him to ask questions, I grouped them into two main groups. The first group, the Sadducees, as I read to you, the Pharisees, the lawyers of the law, and they named them. They were always at the heel of the Lord, trying to tempt him. The Bible said they came tempting him. Why? So that he may err on the word. Is that right? So they have such people, you can't convert them. Because their minds are fixed. They have a fixed mind. They don't want to know the truth. They want to disprove the truth. So they come to the word and to challenge the word and ask a variety of questions just to disprove the word. But the word cannot be disproved. Amen. Amen. Because the word is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It cannot be disproved. Amen. The second group were the disciples. They also had questions, but they were not asking questions to doubt the Lord. They were asking questions to know him more and to know who they were and to know what time they were in and to be positionally placed. So it's all right to ask questions as long as your motive is right. As long as your motive is not to disprove the word of God, because you can't disprove the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we see these two groups always asking questions. The disciples had questions to us every time. Lord, they asked the question in Matthew, I believe in 24 by 24. Lord, what will be the signs of the end? And then when will you return? And so on and so forth. They asked questions. Not because they doubted the Lord, but because they wanted to know him more. Or to know who they were. Is that right? Amen. To know the time they were living in. Amen. Amen. And so these guys had a purpose to disprove the Lord and to prove that he was a false prophet. Every time God has sent a messenger, he was rejected by established, religious bodies. History proves that. Every time. In the time of John the Baptist, in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, in his bodily form, or the prophet, even in the Old Testament, Noah, Abraham, name them. Moses sent, back to Egypt, all of them. God sent men are always rejected by the established denominational bodies. Not one time has a denomination ever accepted God's messenger. Not one time. History can prove that. Every time there's been a loggerhead, there's been a conflict. Because, the prophet said, because when the messengers come, they begin to reveal truths that were not known. And everything else that has been called truth has been proven wrong. So what the churches or the bodies of religion called the truth, those messengers come to bust the thing up. Say, it's wrong in the face of scriptures. And they go haywire. And then there's a spiritual battle. Is that right? Okay, so it happened in the case of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he stood there, every time he received questions from the denominational people, they questioned him not because they wanted to love him and know more, but they questioned him to disprove him. So the Bible used the word tempting. See, let's go back to that scripture. Amen. They came to the Lord tempting him. Is that right? Amen. Okay. And tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. If he had even done that, they would have still doubted him. Amen. But if he had done that, it would have meant that God was now less kowtowing to the requests of unbelievers. You see, when the devil came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, if you can turn this stone to bread, then I'll believe. Or then I'll know that you are a son of God. If thou art son of God, then turn this stone into bread. The Lord could have done it. But if he had done it, he would have obeyed the voice of the devil. It would have meant that the devil is commanding him to do what he should do. Can you imagine the Lord, imagine the devil saying, if you are son of God, turn this stone to bread, and the Lord will turn the stone to bread. You and I would have finished. It would have meant that God had listened to the voice of the devil. The devil tells him to do something that he has done. But the word of God cannot err. And because God cannot err, he didn't obey the devil. So you too don't obey the devil. Obey the word of God. He comes in our mind. The devil comes in our mind. Don't obey him. No matter what he tells you, compare it with the word. No matter the gift you have, compare it with the word. No matter the vision you saw, compared with the word. Amen. The dream you had, compared with the word. Amen. The gift you claim you have, compared with the word. Amen. Because bottom line, it must be the word. Amen. And so these guys came to the Lord and they desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Let's see what the Lord said. And he said, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? So here we are. You high priests, you pastors, you preachers, you archbishops, you Pharisees, you religious people. See, many times we think that the Lord came because he came as a lamb. He just came and said, oh, we are all sons of God. Don't rebuke anyone. We are all God's children. People preach like that. You know that? People say, oh, no, we are all God's children. Don't rebuke me. If my doctrine is wrong, don't rebuke it. We are all God's children. That's not Christianity. Christianity is sharp. Christianity rebukes. It rebukes errors. So God in his ministry were rebuking errors. Were rebuking the devil and spirits. When he said, he hypocrite, he was talking to high priests. High priests who were in the temple day and night studying the scriptures, the Torah. So he hypocrites. Hypocrite. Churches hypocrites. High priest hypocrites. Phew. No. That was the word versus the church. The church were refusing to see the word. The churches and the synagogues were refusing to see the word, and the word was rebuking them. So you hypocrites. You can tell it is morning by looking at the sky. You can tell it is evening by looking at the sky. Because that time, I'm not sure, the wristwatch had been made. So they determined the time by looking at the sky. The Lord told them right. And yet, you can't discern the signs of the times. Many Christians can tell you the time we are living in by way of calendar. 2024, 5 months to election. They can tell you. We are in rainy season. 2 days ago it rained. Likely to rain again before the rainy season. They can tell you the weather. But they cannot discern the signs of the times. They are blind. And the Lord was telling them that you high priests and you men, so-called men of God, you can't discern the sky to tell whether it's morning or evening, and you can't discern the sign of the times. I think that, the church really is in this condition. The condition the Pharisees were in, the modern church is in. The condition the Sadducees were in, the modern church is in. They can tell you everything about what is going on, but they can't tell the signs of the times. Amen. Amen. So let's see what happens here. The Lord continued to rebuke them, and he said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. He was telling them on their faces that they were a wicked generation and an adulterous generation. Why? They were seeking for a sign. And today, many are seeking for signs. Believers don't follow the signs. The signs follow the believers. These signs shall follow you. Amen. And so he called them wicked and adulterous generation. And then he said, and there shall no sign be given unto it, unto the generation, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. He didn't have to waste his time on them. So the only sign I'll give you is the sign of the prophet Jonas. What is the sign of the prophet Jonas? What is it? The Lord said, I'll give you none, but I'll give you the sign of the prophet Jonas. What is the sign of the prophet Jonas? The sign of the prophet Jonas is the sign of the resurrection. Today I'm taking my time. The sign of the prophet Jonas is the sign of the resurrection. Why is that so? Jonas was sent. He ran away. But bottom line, God brought him to where he sent him to go. Is that right? How many days did Jonas spend in the belly of the fish? 3 days. When Jonas was spending 3 days in the belly of the fish, that was Christ in the belly of the earth. That was the gospel. That was the sign of the burial and resurrection of the Lord. So the sign of Jonas is the sign of the resurrection of the Son of Man. Amen. The natural things are a type of the spiritual things. Amen. The stories in the Bible have their spiritual connotations. And they are written for our benefits. And so, to the natural mind, to the natural eye, Jonah, a runaway prophet, has come back to town. No. That was a sign of the resurrection morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Lord said, I ain't going to give you any sign. You adulterous generation. You wicked generation. Church members, oh, he called them wicked generation. Because they had failed to see the time and the hour. They have failed to see when the word of God was revealed. Amen. Today, the church has failed to see when the word of God has been revealed. Amen. History is only playing back itself. The church is very religious, but failing to see when the word of God is revealed. And they always will put God in the past and will put God in the future. But will not put God in the presence. In the presence. That's God's, that's man's nature. Oh, we thank God for Moses. Oh, we thank God for, Lord, thank you for coming to die for us on Calvary. It's history. See, they remember history and they rejoice. They rejoice over it and they thank God for history. But when God is working in their midst, they can't see it. They're as blind as bats. And they know that, oh, God, according to the Bible, oh, God will come again and he will appear in the class. And then, you know, then we shall meet him. They put all into the future. So man believes in history, believes in future, but refuses to believe what God is doing in his midst, in their midst. Amen. Amen. That is man's nature. So the Lord called them wicked generation. Take the sign of the prophet Jonas. I'm not sure they even understood what the Lord said. I'm not sure they understood it. Sign of Prophet Jonas. They will go back to their Torah and search. Sign. This man, leave him alone. He just speaks a parable, and, you know. They were blind. The Lord didn't waste time upon them. He just left them and departed, the Bible said. God's prophet said, that has been the history of man. That has been the nature of man. That has been the nature of the, you know, of the religious bodies, always praising God for what he has done. Okay? How Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Everybody talk about it, you know? And God delivered them. That's wonderful. That's fine. But that's past. It's past. And how it shall be in the rapture. It sounds glorious. Oh, thank God for a rapture in the future. Is that right? Yes, but what is God doing now? Where are we at? Where are we at? So the church is churching. The churches are churching and the world is worldling. Amen. Amen. Forgive my English. Amen. I'm creating my own English.
Amen.
But I'm still speaking the King's language.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Even if I don't have the Queen's language, I have the King's language.
Yeah.
Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. So the churches are just churching. In church, dance, drum, sing. Then we close, we fast, we pray. A cycle, repetition every time. And God comes and he leaves and they don't see it. As I always demonstrate to you, when Christ came and he was preaching on the shore of Galilee, they were still reading, a virgin shall conceive. Do you know that?
Amen.
When a virgin had conceived and had given birth to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was a full-grown man preaching in the land, with death on his feet, signs, wonders, and miracles following him, the churches were still going into the synagogue and still reading, a virgin shall conceive. And they'll say, Amen. A virgin shall. They should have read, a virgin has conceived and is preaching outside.
Yes,
They should have read, a virgin has conceived, and the son has grown up, and is preaching outside, and the Lord is testifying of him.
Amen.
But they were still reading, a virgin shall conceive. Because that's still in the Bible. The Lord said they were blind. Said they were wicked generation. Said they were hypocrites. They could not discern the signs of the times. But you can't accuse them. The church, modern church, can't accuse them because they are in the same condition. They don't know which scripture has been revealed. They don't know it.
Amen.
It's just go to church, be a good man, be a good woman, and serve the Lord, and you're going to heaven. It doesn't work like that. Where are we at? Where are we at? I'll read you a quote where that was preached in 1964, entitled, says, we will see Jesus.
Amen.
And in there, the prophet said, I think that has got the condition our church is getting into. I think that has got the condition our church is getting into. God shook every gift that he promised in the Bible before us. And we're still staring in space.
Amen.
As we are looking for something else, it seems to be a spiritual condition of the church. That they fail to see the hour that they are living. They are looking for some sensation or something, that something way off in the future. Man is forever doing that. He always blesses God for what he has done, looking forward for what he will do, and ignoring what he is doing. You fail to see the hour we are living in. Thus said the prophets. Man is always blessing God for what he has done. Oh, Calvary, oh, what it means to me. Thank you, Lord, for Calvary. But they fail to see the seventh seal.
Amen.
Praise God. Oh, thank God for the rapture. Oh, look, the rapture, it will be wonderful. It will be awesome. We will all be there. The rapture, you see this church going up. This church going up. Oh, in fact, it will be wonderful. Artistic impressions. Man always blessing God for what he has done and praising God for what he's yet to do and ignoring what he's doing. It's man's nature. Where are we at? That has been the history of the church. Hallelujah. That you fail to see the hour we are living. But despite this condition, the elect always are able to identify the time and the hour. The elect will do that. Hallelujah. When God sent Moses to go take over, those that were supposed to be freed by Moses, you know, couldn't even believe that he must be the only one not to lead them. So he was withstood by, you know, Korah and the other guy. You know, the spirits. Are you the only prophet? Must you be the only one we must listen to? Must you be the only one we must reference? Are you the only one God has sent? So they told Moses, are you the only mouthpiece of God? And Moses said, Lord, please, this I can't handle this storm of people. Why don't you let me do my, and no, leave me alone. Lord, let me die. They warned the leader. And then Moses said, and the God said, I won't let you die. I would rather let them die. God said, you, Moses, separate yourself. I'll cause an earthquake, and it will drown all of them. I'll cause a quake, and I'll bury all of them. And Moses laid on his stomach, on his belly, and said, God, don't do it. He became a breach. He said, don't do it. So if you do it, they will say that because you are not able to bring them to the promised land, you will kill them. Can a man have that wisdom? Can a man speak for God to halt? What is that? It appeared that Moses said something to God, halted. A powerful mind. But Abraham said, that was Christ in Moses. That was Christ in Moses. God would have killed you and me, but for Christ. God would have killed them, but for Moses. And God would have struck you and me, but for Christ. He laid as a bridge. Hallelujah. Praise God. He held God's anger. Christ held God's anger. Moses held God's anger. A bridge. When Moses was born, he was called a proper child. When Christ was born, he was called a proper child. When Moses was born, he was called a deliverer. When Christ was born, he was called a deliverer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So history always repeats itself, but the people don't see it. They'll never see it. Why? Because it's not been given to them to know the mission of the kingdom. But to you, it's been given. So listen. Religious people are not going to heaven. It doesn't take religion to go to heaven. It takes the word. And you must be word fed and spirit filled. You must be an elect to identify the time we are living in. Hallelujah. So that what happens, the people normally will question and they will not know what is happening. Where we are. Every denomination doesn't know where we are at. Because all that we know these days, go to church, pay your offering, pay your tithe. Don't quarrel with your neighbors. Be good. Do good. Pray. Fast. You know, the good things are good. Then do those things, and then when God comes, then you go to, you know, go to the rapture. That's what we all preach. Okay? So then God will make you a better person, better, you become more disciplined. It's all fine. But it's not good to become a better chicken.
Amen.
If you become a better chicken, you are still a chicken.
Amen.
Oh. If you follow some steps, some daily bread steps, and I'll do this and I'll do that, you're only becoming a better chicken. Until you can identify the word revealed. Because among chickens, there are elders. There are chickens. There are chicks. We have the fowl. We have the cockerel. Oh? The hen. And the what? The what? The rooster. The rooster and the what? And the hen. And the broiler. And the, you know, different types. But they are all chickens. See, so you are following a certain routine to make you a better chicken, but you're still a chicken.
Amen.
Only one thing can make you an eagle.
Amen.
The word. You must be an eagle. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
You must have spiritual eyes to see, spiritual ears to hear. So, seven things to follow to overcome. Seven that to do that. To put the devil under your feet, to bind devils. It's all fine. Jesus also bound the devil. But he himself was a devil. Why? He was applying basic principle in the Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we are here to talk about better chickens, how to become a better Christian, how to become a better, you know, something. It's all fine. It's fine to improve. Is that right? We are talking about identifying your message of a day, any day. Identifying the word of God as it should be identified. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And so I'll take you to another quote, preached in 1962, called Oneness. Oneness. And in that, the prophet said, "Now, the coming of the Lord Jesus is so imminent. The coming of judgment. He is calling his elect together in oneness with himself.
Amen.
With the same kind of a ministry he had. You know how I shaped in the church ages here not long ago about the big tower that was built called the pyramid? But the headstone was never put on it. Remember how the Lutherans came, then the Wesley in the minority, and then down to Pentecost. And now, what is he doing? Calling from that. Amen. What did he do? He called out the elect to make the Lutheran. He called out the elect out of the Lutheran to make the Wesleyan. He called out the elect out of that to make the Pentecostals. Now, he's calling the elect Pentecostals out to make the headstone to come into it. A very same kind of a ministry, dropping right in on it, calling his children from all denominations and all walks of life. The reason why I read this quote is for us to know where we are at. Because Pentecost age is gone. And when I was talking to you, you know, some few minutes ago, I said the church is blind. The modern church is blind. Not only that, there are many believers, so-called believers, in the message, end-time message, who don't even know where they are. To some, they are still in Laodicea. But you see, to know where you are, then you must know what kind of preparation you are making with every age that is message. Is that right? And God sends his messengers at the end of every age to pull them out of that age into the next. Amen. So we see how the tech has traveled through seven church ages. Okay? Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos coming down through, coming up to Laodicea. Of course, they say because there are only seven church ages, so of course. That's true. But the prophet also mentioned an eternal church age. The end time prophet comes at the time of Laodicea to bring us out from that condition. Is that right? And so, right in 62, he was talking about how God is moving among church history. Okay? How God picked out the elect from the Lutherans and on, he picked elect from Pentecostals, you know, from Wesleyans and all that. Then he said what? To make the Wesleyan. And he called out the elect out of that to make the Pentecostals. Are you all following? Amen. Then he said, now. Amen. Now. In 1962. Amen. Now he's calling the elect Pentecostals out. Amen. Not in Laodicea, but out of Laodicea. Amen. To make the what? The headstone to come on it. Are you following? I want to take my time. See, because people always glorify the history and the past and don't know where they are. I don't know where they are. So we're in Laodicea. We are not in Laodicea. Laodicea is gone. Because we are called out of Laodicea to come into the headstone. Did you hear the quote? In 1962. The bride of Christ is called out of denominationalism. Amen. To come into the headstone. Amen. There are those who also preach and say, well, we are in a slot. Between the headstone and the body, there's a slot. We are not in all slots. If you want to be in the slot, you remain there. I want to be in the headstone. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so we are called out every age God. That's a calling. He called them out into another age by a word, by a revelation. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. On and on and on. And as he does that, the bright tree grows. God is perfecting his church. Amen. Until the bright tree stands again in perfection. Amen. Amen. So in here he says, now he's calling the elect Pentecostal out to make the headstone to come into it. A very same kind of a ministry dropping right in on it, calling children from all denominations and all walks of life. The prophetic ministry was a headstone ministry. Amen. The prophetic ministry was a capstone ministry. Amen. To call the bride into it. Amen. Until the headstone and the bride become one. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So we are not in some condition that the word of God has become history. But I'm preaching to someone called taking him out of history. Okay? We are not in history anymore. We are in the present tense, God, the present tense word being revealed daily. It's all being revealed in a way. But being revealed daily to individuals. So even though the bride has been married to the capstone, it takes you as an individual to be married to the capstone. Are you following? God does not deal with groups. So, oh, my son said, all of you, I marry you to the capstone, all of you. Christ, what's the capstone? Christ. He doesn't do like that. He doesn't work like that. So he comes to Chapman. Hallelujah. He deals with Chapman. He works in Chapman. He brings him from scratch to justification, to sanctification, to the Holy Spirit baptism, and to the Holy Spirit himself. Is that right? He brings him to the headstone, the individual, the individual, the individual, the individual, the individual, the individual, the individual. Because when it comes to the Gentile dispensation, God does not deal with groups. God only deals with groups when it comes to the, you know, the Jewish nation. Amen. 12 tribes of Israel, 144,000. 12,000 from each group. But you and me, the bride of Christ, individuals. And God will reveal himself to St. Laurentia. St. Laurentia will be full of the word. And when she stands to speak, she speaks nothing but the word. And her knowledge is filled with nothing but the word. And they say, why does she go to Bible school? Why does she know these things? How come? And how come, what about question you ask her, she's able to give you the answer from the Bible? What happened? She's full of the word. He comes like that to the individual. Amen. And he brings the individual up to the headstone. Hallelujah. Amen. Then you stand as what? As a teacher of a perfect man. Yes, praise God. Amen. Another quote. Proving his word. 1964. Proving his word, 1964. Are we there? Now we say he's raised from the dead. I didn't say it. The word here said it. They said he's raised from the dead. He says he's the same yesterday and forever. You believe that? Amen. He promised these things to happen in the last day, that the same Son of Man will be made manifest. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now remember, that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there. That could discern the thought in Sarah's mind behind him. That was not Jesus. He had not yet been born. But it was a man in human flesh that Abraham called Elohim, the great Almighty, showing. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, now watch close. In the days of Sodom, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. When the Son of Man is being revealed, not no more as a church, see, not no more. The bride is called, see. In that day, the Son of Man will be revealed. What? In other words, he will be revealed for what? Okay? He'll be revealed what? To join the church to the head. The essence of the Son of Man being revealed is to join the what? The church to the head. To join the body to the headstone. The essence of his coming is to join the body to the headstone. Are you following? Are you following? To join the church to the head. Unite the marriage of the bride. So now we are already married. The purpose of the Son of Man being revealed is to join the body to the head. And to declare that marriage. Is that right? The bridegroom call will come right through this. When the Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite the two together. Talking about his own ministry. And yet the way, see the way he's putting it. Listen. The church has to be the word. He is the word. And the two unite together, and to do that, it will take the manifestation or the revealing of the Son of Man. Not a clergyman. I don't know. Do you see what I mean? See, it's the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, who will come down in human flesh among us. And will make his word so real that it will unite the church and him as one. The bride. And then she will go home to the wedding supper. Amen. Amen. Then she said, she is already united. Amen. You hear the same answer to that? Amen. I am already united to the headstone. Amen. I am in no slot. I'm not in any slot. If you want to be in a slot, then you'll be there. I am already united to the headstone. Amen. He said, listen. He said, you make it so real, it will unite the church and him as one. The bride, and then she will go home to the wedding supper. Amen. She is already united. See, we go to the wedding supper, not to the marriage. Failure of flesh, self, of all the flesh of mighty men, cause the marriage of the Lamb has come. But the rapture is going to the wedding supper when the word here unites with the person and they two become one. And then, what does it do then? It manifests the Son of Man again. Not the church theologians. The Son of Man. The word and the church becomes one. Whatever the Son of Man done, he was the word. The church, that's the same thing. Hallelujah. If you are at a loss, let me explain. Luke 17:30. There's a promise there. That what took place in lost time will repeat itself. I didn't give you Luke 17:30, but let's read Luke 17:30. Let's see what is there. It will be revealed. Even that shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Amen. The Son of Man is God in his prophetic ministry. Amen. It didn't say the Son of God. It said the Son of Man, even though it's the same person. But in his prophetic ministry, that was the time of Abraham. The prophet said that wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he had not even been born in the New Testament yet. Is that right? But Abraham said one day in the fine afternoon, Abraham said around 12 noon, Abraham was seated in his tent and he saw three men coming to him. And Abraham looked afar, and when he saw the three men coming, he saw that one of them was God. Amen. I'm closing, don't worry. This doesn't mean that I'm not going to close. So don't worry, I'm closing. Amen. I don't want to preach today. I want to take my time and explain things. Amen. So, oh, pastor has now removed his seat. What? So, you know, so what is going to close? Amen. Amen. So, don't be afraid. After all, we love the heart of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So Abraham sat there and he saw three men coming. He didn't see Trinity. Listen. God is not in three persons. God is in three offices. If you make God three, you're a pagan. Because Moses told them, hear me, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Deuteronomy 6:4 is there. God has always been one. If you have two gods, three gods, that's outside Christianity. But this false teaching has gone deep into our veins until we can't let it go. So he saw three men coming, and because he was a prophet, he knew the one that was God. Because the word of God always comes to the prophets. God always comes to the prophet. And he was God walking like man. Yes, going where? Going to the prophet. Amen. This is the reason why the Lord could not begin his ministry until he went to John the prophet. Yes, because the word must go to the prophet first. Yes, else he does nothing. Oh, say amen to that. Yes, and so then he saw three men coming and he ran. And this, I'll keep on saying, I'll never get tired of saying that. If an old man can get up and run to meet God, you have no excuse to sit and not even to say amen. To sit and people go to church and you see them chewing gum. Sometimes I wonder what's wrong with them.
Amen.
Gum in the house of the Lord. The preacher man is preaching and everybody's saying amen, hallelujah. And say that. See, they don't even know where they are. Because when you meet God, it's a different ballgame. When you meet God, it's all worship. It's all hallelujah, oh praise God, oh hallelujah, oh Lord, thank you God for the word. Thank you God for the word. So when the word came to Abraham, Abraham said God himself came down and formed three bodies. Well, he's the creator. So he created three bodies and gave one to one angel, gave one to another angel, and he himself chose one. And they stepped into the bodies. See, so they were coming without wings, even though they were angels. So if you read Genesis 18, they are called three men, but they appeared in the form of men. But that was God with two other angels. Not three, not God in three persons. Bless it. No, no, you can't bless any Trinity. You can't bless anything that God has not blessed. You can only bless the word. Amen. And so, and when Abraham ran to all of them, he addressed only one person, as if he had ignored the other two. So he ran to all of them and he said, is that what? My Lord. My Lord. Haven't you seen the other two? My Lord. And Abraham begins to give him accolades that befits him. Is that El Ella Elohim? El Ella Elohim. What is that? Abraham said, you, the one that no one created, the self-existent God is who you are. El Ella Elohim means the self-existent one that no one created. The God without beginning, the God without end. That was God Almighty. Amen. And he worships him. God must be worshipped. And he and they go back to the tent and all that, you see, all that took place. That age, that time, is called the time of lots. Okay? The reason why I brought this example is because it's called, even though it's the time of Abraham, it's also called the time of lots. So if you read Luke 17:30, it said, even that shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. If you go before this scripture, the previous verses, as it was in the days of Lot, I believe from verse 28. Is there? Amen. Luke 17 from 28 coming to 30. He speaks of Lot first before he comes here. Are we there? Amen. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. Uh-huh. See? So the days of Lot are also the days of Abraham. Do you agree? Say amen. Because when God called Abraham to go out from among his kindred, he took along Lot. But Lot was his brother's son. Okay? So in the days of Abraham, the days of Lot, where God himself came down in the human flesh. And did what? And showed a ministry of discernment. That event will play back in our day. That event has already played back in our day. So even as God came in, that's why the quote said, so God will come again in human flesh. I read the quote to you. Human flesh. God will borrow a body. God borrowed a human body and revealed himself in that human body. Just as he borrowed a body from the, you know, from the ground, history must repeat itself. And God stood there and discerned the intent and the thought of Sarah. And when God came out there and brought a body from Kentucky,
amen.
He did the same. Designed the intent and the thought of men, women and boys and girls.
Amen.
The same ministry playing back as in the days of Lot. When the Son of Man is being revealed, what's the meaning of that?
Amen.
The word being revealed is the Son of Man being revealed.
Amen.
When I was in CSC, and I knew all of you belonged to a denomination before you were called out, you know, you were called out, I thought, well, when the Son of Man shall be revealed, oh, okay, revealed means that when he's coming and I see his legs coming from the cloud. No. Okay? When he comes like that, he's coming, not even his second coming. Okay? If you see the last Son of Man coming like that, physically, it means that you are already in the third coming. It means that rapture has taken place, millennium has already gone. You know, it's not now. Because this second coming is also a mystery. Is that right? But in the third coming, all eyes shall see him. Okay? But here, he's revealed in the Word. Because he's the Word. The Word became flesh. In the book of Revelation, he's called the Word of God. So when the Word of God is being revealed, is the Son of Man being revealed. In that day, they ate, they drank, just like today. Okay? And all, everybody marrying, giving in marriage, and all going on. You know, women marrying women, and men marrying men, and abomination. And the whole Ghana's against it. And the herald said that, no, I won't sign. Because what? It's at the courts. I don't sound political in my preaching, but truth must be told. We are sick. The nation is sick. The world is sick. It's our own sign. Because it's at the courts. But your e-lady was signed when it was still at the courts. Sin is being glorified. God will judge this generation. But Abraham said, if God fails to bend the generation, he's an obligation to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah to apologize to them. Because we are worse. The Pope can stand and say, the priest can bless gays. That's disgusting. It's a complete shame. The world is sick. The world is so sinful, this time it can't take water. In the time of Noah, it took water to destroy them. This time, we are so sick, water can do it. Because, Bram said, because fire is a better cleanser. Oh, God have mercy. Hallelujah. So where are we at? The world is gone. The churches are getting churching. The world is getting worldly. Or if you like, the churches are getting worldly. And the world is getting churching. And the men are dressing like women. And women are dressing like men. It's all one big conglomeration of sin. But thank God for a message of righteousness. Praise God. We shall be changed. We shall be changed. We shall be changed. You shall be changed. The power that's able to change you is already in you. It came to you in the form of a message. Praise God. The power that will rupture you, the power that will rupture you and change your mortal body, that power is already in you. It came to you in the form of a message. You say amen to the word. Amen to the word. Amen to the word. So as I close on the keyboard, you see the camel Rebecca watered, she didn't know what she was doing. Because Elijah said, Lord, if the woman who gives me water to drink and gives same to my camels, let her be the one that I'll take to my master's son, Isaac. And then Rebecca began to water. After giving Elijah water to drink, she began to water all the 10 camels. If you know the amount of water a camel can drink, you will start. You will start. You know, it's like some of us. If we know that our parents will send us, then we'll go out, then we'll not go to, to the house at all. We'll start. If I go, they'll send me, so I'll go out. I'll go out on, on evangelism. So by the time I'll come home, then, they're already sleeping. It's like, if you know how camels drink water, one camel, because they are designed for the desert, they drink much water to store. So they have about 4 stomachs. Drink, and store. So on desert, no water, they will still be storing. They will still have water. They are designed like that. For a woman, not to just open the tap to get water, but to use the pitchers to go to Jacob's well and bring it out, the labor. For a camel just to, and it's finished, go back again. Until the camel cannot drink anymore, you go to the second camel, third camel, fourth camel. Labor. If you're a Christian, you must not be lazy. And so, she does that from a pure heart. From a pure heart. She didn't know that the camel she was watering the camel that was going to carry her to her husband. She didn't know that. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Bram said, in the same way the bride doesn't know, every day the word of God comes to you and it pricks your heart and you say, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's how we water our camel too. By our amens and by our hallelujahs to the word. And Abraham said, the Holy Ghost you water, you say amen to it. The same Holy Ghost will carry you to your husband. The same Holy Ghost. Amen, preacher. I love the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for the message. So as you say amen to the word every day, you give strength to the Holy Spirit to pack you from here to your husband. Where are we at? We are the headstone. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much, Lord. This little message that's all chopped up, not being able to present it well. I pray that your spirit will be upon it. Amen. Heavenly Father, that any word that we have taken in this morning will remain there, will be watered by our amens and by our hallelujahs. By saying amen to the word, we give strength to the Holy Spirit that will carry us to our husband. May it be so with us also. We bless your holy name, Lord. May we know the time we are living in. The bride will know the time and the seasons. Hallelujah, Lord. Even as you rebuke the Pharisees for not knowing, the elect knew. We thank God the elect today also knows. Oh God, may it be so with every one of us, Lord. Bring us to this knowledge of truth. What for? To unite us to the word. Christ the headstone. May it be so with every one of us, Lord, that our walk in you be perfect. Bless us. Until we stand in your very image and declare the goodness of the Lord, the full manifestation of sons and daughters of God. May that be our story. For the time is almost over. We thank you one more time for what you have done in our midst. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, We pray with thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you.